Hello everyone, welcome to Mobile Action Growth Podcast. I'm your host, Taha. Each episode of this podcast, I'm sitting down with a growth enthusiast and growth professionals to talk about everything about growth these days. And I actually, couldn't think of a better person to talk growth these days better than Tamir Jorbi of Lemonade, the VP of growth at the company. So today I'm sitting down with him. Hi, Tamir. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you so much for inviting me and for the warm intro.
Yeah, I mean, it's my pleasure. I'm super excited to talk for some selfish reasons, because I personally want to learn from you. And also, I believe that our audience will learn insightful things from you as well. So I know that you've been in the company at Lemonade for more than 5 years, and I believe that it's been, a hell of a ride, and you've been through, seeing, company grow from 1 million ARR to, more than 100 million today, and which is amazing. And I want to hear everything about that and, how you are, achieving this growth strategy as the, lead of the growth at the company. But before we do that, I actually want to get to know you a bit more. So before Lemonade, what was, your career path look like?
So I would say from an early age, I knew that I'm interested in what is convincing people to customers or potential customer to buy a product. Why someone buys an Apple phone and someone is buying an Android phone. And back in the day, I thought that in order for me to learn more about this domain, I should go into psychology. But quickly after that, I was introduced to the world of marketing and then online marketing, and I just fell in love, because the moment that you can target users and you can A/B test and you can learn, you can basically test messaging and creative and get people to make an action. So it somehow relates to psychology, and today we call it the behavioral, and there are many other ways to describe it, but eventually that's where I landed. And I was lucky to work in several companies that gave me the opportunity to develop those skills. So companies from 888, Conduit, Fiverr, and now recently Lemonade. And I think during my career, I learned that I really love joining at the early stage. So every time I decided to look for a new opportunity, I joined in an earlier phase. When I joined Lemonade, we were less than 15 employees. Yeah. And I think there is something really exciting about the unknown, that you join a company, no one has any idea how to bring the first customer. There is no strategy in place. And I think this is just very exciting.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I think some people don't really prefer to join a company as much as, you mentioned, as it was, 15 people. But I think it's really exciting to, both see what you can do with your skills to contribute to that company, and also, being a part of something which you can have a, much bigger contribution to. So yeah. I think Lemonade is really an interesting company, and the company went public in July 2020, which is, last summer. And I think you've been doing much of amazing things after the IPO as well. But I want to talk a bit more about, what does the Lemonade offers actually? And we know that, the insurance market is, pretty crowded, and there are lots of, noise there. But I think Lemonade stands out as a really reliable insurance partner to the consumers today. And I want to ask, how you are achieving this innovation in the industry.
Sure. So when Daniel and Shai, our founders, basically visionize what is Lemonade, there is one sentence that describes best what we do, which is forget everything you know about insurance. Insurance was created as something good to help people at the time of need. And for some reason, it became that there is a big conflict of interest between the customers and the insurance company. There is lack of trust. You buy insurance because you need to buy insurance, and you believe that if something bad happens, they will never pay you. And the insurance company thinks that you're lying when you file a claim, so they make your life miserable. And together, there is a conflict of interest. And then when you ask someone about insurance, they'll probably say, we hate insurance. I hate my insurance company. And we are, our vision is to be the most lovable insurance company in the world. And how do you do that? I think, first of all, you ease the pain. When you buy insurance with Lemonade, it's super easy. It's super fast. You can do it from anywhere in the world using our app or using our mobile our website. There are no faxes, no phone calls, no documents you need to fill out, no difficult questions. Everything is done online, super easy. We have a bot, we call it Maya, and she's helping you throughout the process. And it can take around 50 seconds to buy insurance, which is insane. The second thing which helps us solve the conflict of interest is that when you buy a policy, let's say you bought a policy for $100, we only take 25% to our pocket, and that money stays with us no matter what. The rest of the money we put on the side, this money will never go back to our bottom line. And when you file a claim, I'm using the money on the side to pay your claim. So I'm not in a conflict of interest because that money will never go back to my bottom line. And when you buy Lemonade, I tell you, hey, which charity do you care about? Because once a year, we take all the money that is left after paying all claims and we give it to a charity of your choosing. So when you file a claim, you're not taking money from Lemonade, you're taking money from the charity that you love. So basically, the conflict is solved. I'm happy to pay claims because that money is not mine. You will file a claim if it's a real claim because you don't want to take the money from the charity that you care about. And every year we call it the Give Back Day. We take all the money that is left and we give it to hundreds of charities, which is an amazing feeling. And it really helps getting back to why people should love insurance. And when someone files a claim, it's also super easy. You can do it from your phone. We don't force you to do a very long, painful procedure. And I think that's what insurance is all about.
Amazing. I mean, I love that methodology. And the product itself sounds like, you know, it's a revolutionary way of doing insurance today. But it actually, you know, not enough in this world of, you know, the new technologies coming up every day. So someone needs to show the people out there that there's a product like this. And if you are suffering from the problems that, you know, our customers used to, you can come and use that, which I believe is the job of the growth team at Lemonade. So you are leading this team for quite a while now, and I want to learn about, you know, how you're achieving this growth at the company, and starting from the hiring and structuring a growth team. So how to form an actually fully functioning growth team at a company, and what kind of skills and, you know, employee profiles you need as a team like this?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think the first and foremost, I think growth is not just coming from the growth team. I think growth is a company mission. And the first thing you need to make sure is that the leadership is supporting growth and they understand what growth means, which resources do we need to invest, how much money we need to invest. I was lucky enough to be surrounded by very smart people in many teams in our company. From product and dev and everyone together is trying to achieve the same thing. Everyone wants the company to grow. And I think once you have that alignment, you can start building your team when you have a better understanding of where you want to focus on. So when we just started, obviously I had to do things by myself, and then slowly I started hiring people when I had a, let's say, a better guess on my strategy moving forward. In terms of how to find the right people, I usually focus on several things. Obviously, experience is interesting, but I usually look for hunger. When you're a young company, you're looking for someone who's not afraid to work very hard, that is very eager to contribute and make an impact. And it's not easy, because sometimes when someone is doing has a career of 10, 15 years, they love managing people. They don't necessarily love managing stuff by themselves and to be a hands-on approach. I'm looking for those who are, they get excited from building something from scratch, and that hunger just continues on and on. That's the first thing, and that's what usually I emphasize on the interviews, as I'm looking for more and more examples for their hunger in previous roles and previous things that they do. It can also be things from their private life. A few years ago, I hired someone, he's 20 years old, and he was hungry to learn and develop, and he started his own company, just him by himself, and he had zero experience, but I was so fascinated by the hunger and the aspiration and the personal growth aspiration that person has. And I just wanted to hire him because I said, we will teach him the rest. He already has what's really important. The second thing, it's kind of the gladiator approach, which is you're going to fail a lot. You're going to be stepped on. You're going to get no when you ask for resources from other teams. You're going to build something, work on it for many months, and then it's going to fail. You need to be able to rise up and always have eyes on the prize and just keep iterating and keep testing, because it takes time until something works. It can take months. And if you have enough cash, it might take years as well. And the last thing that I think it's really important is don't be an asshole. It's kind of like, on one hand, I'm saying be a gladiator, you know, do whatever it takes to get to the goal. On the other hand, don't be an asshole. Don't step on other people in order to achieve your goals. Like, help others the same you want them to help you. And I think those are the things that I really put my focus on when I'm looking for people. And so far, it's been pretty amazing, because today I have an amazing team at Lemonade.
That's great. You know, it's really interesting to hear that, because I think a lot of folks are trying to build a growth team at, you know, their own companies, and it's really helpful to, you know, give them advice and talk about the challenges, to-dos and not to-dos as well. You know, if you're giving, you know, an advice on something. So I love that. And another thing that I'm really curious about, Tamir, is that, you know, how do you measure growth properly, you know, at a company like Lemonade, which has, you know, hundreds of employees, you know, there are, I believe, tons of metrics that you are tracking and trying to optimize. But, you know, how does it start? How do you determine the, you know, right KPIs? And, you know, how do you you know, build things that contribute to your North Star metric, with, you know, not getting into too much distraction and, you know, doing things fast?
So I think the first thing is to be kind of a data nerd or a data freak. Make sure from as early as possible that you collect as much data as you can, that the data is organized in the right tables, that you can extract insights eventually. I think if you can do that from day one, that will be very helpful throughout the journey of the company. In terms of KPI, I think it really depends. When you're just starting out, you have no idea what's going to happen. So usually I start with softer KPIs. So maybe when just starting, I will just look at user acquisition, like how many users can I acquire for that amount of dollars? And maybe as it progresses, you start looking at ROI. And maybe at some point you can develop an LTV model, so you become even more sophisticated. And I think eventually you want to be at a point where every cent that you spend is spent on the channel or on the partnerships where you see the highest return over the lifetime of that user. So I think it really depends on where you're, you know, the phase the company is in. How much money is there in the bank? The type of product, like it's a very hard question to answer, but I think the high level is basically what I said.
Got it. So last but not least, I want to ask you about, if you were to go back in time or when you were just starting to your career, and as you said, you were fascinated by the psychology and marketing and growth, and considering that you will do that right now, and if there are other listeners who are just starting and want to be a growth professional, what will be the advice that you will give to them?
If you manage to find a job in an exciting company using networking, do it. I get so many messages on LinkedIn, and when people share examples or something they did, I continue the conversation. I always reply everyone. But I think if you don't have that luxury, or you're just starting out and you still don't have the network and you cannot reach so many people, I would say just do something of your own. Like, find someone that can be your neighbor, your friend, or family member, and say, "Hey, I want to help you grow," and read and find lectures online, and start doing things by yourself. Get that type of experience, hustle your way, and then when you do feel either that will succeed, and then you already achieve something, and even if not, I think that experience is super valuable. It's definitely more valuable than getting another degree, in my opinion, or taking another course, because in growth, things are changing so fast. The things I thought I know are changing, and today I already need to forget what I learned 2 years ago because everything is changing so fast. So I think that can be very, very helpful. But also, going back to my LinkedIn idea, you need to work hard. You need to work hard and be very persistent until you find or you manage to nail your first role or your first job.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, the lesson that I got out from your words is that if you want to be a growth professional, first, I think you should be in the growth mindset, right?
Yeah. It's funny. Yesterday, someone sent me a website that they built to convince me to hire them. I never met the person, but it was so unique. They sent me a message, and the URL had my name in it. I don't know if they do, if that person is
That's
generating
awesome.
for other people in the industry, but I clicked because I was intrigued, and I saw a website that spoke about things that are personalized to me. And I read the website. There were some things that I noticed and got me even more engaged. And I'm meeting that person next week. So even if I won't hire him, I'll probably remember him, or maybe I will direct him to someone I know is hiring. So I think, yeah, when you think about growth and or growth hacking or anything like that, you need also to find like a creative way to get noticed.
Definitely, because it's amazing. Not a lot of people does that. Everybody is like applying to jobs, like just clicking a button. But when you see someone that is, creative and putting time to, know you and the company and showing this pursuit, it's really amazing. So
Yeah.
Tamir, it's been a really great chat today. I learned a lot. I, really enjoyed talking to you. So thanks so much for joining me today.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Bye bye.
Amazing. So this is the end of this episode of Mobile Action Growth Podcast. If you'd like to talk to Tamir about something, you can reach him out on LinkedIn at Tamir Jerby. And also, Lemonade is hiring. So if you want to join, Lemonade across various teams in various locations, you can go to makers.lemonade.com and apply to the job that most suits you. And thanks for listening. See you on the next episode.